Hi, peeps. Welcome to episode, I think it's 151 of Pretzelmania. Apologies for a lack of episode last week. As some of you may know, I like to record and get things out of the way on a Monday or a Wednesday morning before releasing a show on Friday. Unfortunately, the health of our pet cat, Herbie, was rapidly declining, and I found him peacefully passed away on the morning of March 6th, last Wednesday. He was 16 years old, so he had a very good run. I can't be that upset, but it sucks because he's a member of our family. Herbie, we got him in my first year of college, and when my brother moved out to start his career as a grocery manager, franchisee. He was my dad's best buddy. And when dad passed, he became my mom's basically guard dog or cat. We almost didn't get to bring him to Sabal Beach, but I'm glad that we did for just south of 2 years. Probably the best cat I've had, and we've had quite a few cats over the years in the Fretz family, so Herbie, you're with Pops now. He's given you your tuna right from his chair while scratching his lotto tickets. And yeah, that it sucks. Losing a pet sucks. So, folks, this show is it's gonna be a doozy. I'm giving you a heads up now. Mae Young gets super power bombed off the stage by Bubba Ray Dudley. There is a return of a certain redacted former owner of the company who is going through a legal battle right now. So that's a heads up. It's a forewarning. When Vince McMahon is back on our screens, at least in the form of this retro podcast, I'm just going to talk about him and just say this is what he did, and that's it. No impressions, no pretending that he doesn't exist like the Cultaholic Classic Wrestling podcast does. And it's actually kind of funny that every week they find a different supervillain to say who Vince McMahon is. So he's Dr. Doom from Who Framed Roger Rabbit. He's Dr. Ivo Robotnik from Sonic. No, I said Robotnik, not Eggman. He's Dr. Robotnik. And I'm going to fight that one. All right. So on to the rest of the show shortly here, folks. And man, strap in. This show is, of course, dedicated to Herbie. RIP, buddy. Good boy.
The following contest is scheduled for one fall. Please welcome Mr. Fretz.
How's it going, everybody? This is King Ricky Rose, your general manager and host of Kings of the Rings podcast, and it's time to kick it a little old school and go back in time with the Fretzelmania podcast exclusively here on WrestleAddict Radio, The Cure, for the Common Wrestling Podcast.
What up, peeps? Welcome to episode 151 of the Fretzelmania podcast. I am the North American treasure, your second favorite Canadian, Mr. Fretz. Today, I have a historic episode of Monday Night Raw from March 13th, 2000, from the Continental Airlines Arena in Meadowlands, New Jersey. We are 3 weeks away from WrestleMania 2000. But first, I'm going to go grapple surfing to see what else is going on in the wacky world of pro wrestling on this particular week.
WCW Monday Nitro from the O'Connell Center in Gainesville, Florida. Chris Candido, who I believe is making his WCW debut here, defeated the Raging Cajun Lash LaRue. Vic Finley, he loves to fight, beat La Parca. Billy Kidman and Booker T defeated the Harris Twins by DQ in a tag team championship match. The Harris Twins retain. The Total Package beat Vampiro. Hugh Morris defeated Norman Smiley in no laughing matter. Kurt Hennig beat Dustin Rhodes, the original American Nightmare, by DQ. Tank Abbott beat the Barbarian by DQ, by KO, I am sorry. Barbarian in WCW in 2000. I didn't know that was a thing. Sting defeated Ric Flair. And the team of Hulk Hogan and Sid Vicious, WrestleMania 8 opponents collide against Jeff Jarrett and Scott Steiner, accompanied by the Harris Twins. Speaking of Sting, just last week at AEW Revolution, he had his retirement match, tagging with his partner Darby Allin, going up against Matthew and Nicholas Jackson, the EVP, heel, corporate, bloodline, whatever, Young Bucks. I'm loving this heel Bucks run, by the way. I was so cold on them for so long, and now they just turned this whole EVP thing up to 11. We had Ric Flair getting involved here. Ricky the Dragon Steamboat was a timekeeper. Sting's sons were dressed up as Wolfpack Sting and Surfer Sting, even doing pretty damn good Stinger splashes to the Bucks. Lex Luger and Magnum TA were in the crowd, but they weren't shown. But people knew that they were there. I'm pretty sure that Tully Blanchard may have been in the audience as well, former manager of NXT's newest signing, Sean Spears. I'm loving that. This match was nuts. It was a great way to, you know, wrap Sting's career up. In his AEW run, he went undefeated. He never got pinned or made submit, which is kind of crazy. And I don't think this match needed the tag titles. I don't know if I'm not a dirt sheet guy. I don't think Sting wanted the titles or something, but usually a wrestler's last match, they should go out on their back. They should lose. Like, look at the retirement matches of Shawn Michaels, of Ric Flair's first retirement matches, also, ironically, against Shawn Michaels. Look at Kurt Angle, despite the fact how you may feel about him going out against the waiter era of Baron Corbin, the Denny's waiter, the Applebee's guy. We call him like an Applebee's greeter, waiter, or something. Despite the fact how you may feel about that, Kurt Angle went out on his back. Sting went out on top, making one of the Young Bucks submit to the Scorpion Deathlock. Of course, after Darby Allin went through glass, or real glass, Crimea River. I thought he should have went out on his back. It would have given even more heat to the Young Bucks. And in the back of my mind, I was hoping somehow for a Darby heel turn. But Darby's going to go take time off to climb Mount Everest, you absolute madman. So you want to have him go out as a babyface in case, well, something happens at Mount Everest, because that is a very high risk venture for him to go. Good luck to you, Darby. That's one hell of an undertaking for you to go, and takes balls of steel to do something like that. So all the power to you. I hope you come back healthy. Meanwhile, on SmackDown, a few days after this episode of Raw, is March 16th, 2000, from the Nassau Coliseum in Long Island, New York. The Dudley Boys defeated Edge and Christian to retain the tag titles. The Godfather defeated Triple H. There has to be interference in this match somehow, probably from The Rock. But this wiki page isn't very clear. It's very concise. We had the Acolytes defeating Head Cheese. Rikishi defeating The Big Show. Probably The Rock getting involved here. He did it for Rikishi. The team of Chris Jericho and Taz with China defeated Bob Backlund and Kurt Angle. We had Dean Malenko defeating Grandmaster Sexay. The Hardy Boys and Radicals, represented by Benoit and Saturn, ended in a double countout in a tag team contendership match. Now, didn't No Way Out have a contendership match with the Hardys and Edge and Christian? Was that not for WrestleMania, or is that not for a future shot? Not very clear, but man, this WrestleMania is going through so many twists and turns. It's nuts. And then we had X-Pac defeating The Rock by DQ. Probably DX interference here. But there's another segment in this show that will go down in infamy. It is historic. It involves the Headbangers, referee Earl Hebner, Crash Holly, and Funtime USA. I think you know exactly where I'm going to go here. So Crash was seen in the arcade and then went down the slide to get to the lower floor where he was double teamed by Mosh and Thrasher. Eventually, this schmoz wound up in the ball pit and Crash hit a flying clothesline and a hurricanrana off of the rappel that goes into the ball pit before running out the other door. I love 24/7 era hardcore championship, WWE. Well, before it really got too over the top, like in 2002 when it would change hands like 20 times a night, like at WrestleMania X8, which was fun, but I can see why this title eventually went by the wayside. And now, Monday Night Raw, March 13th, 2000. Continental Airlines Arena, Meadowlands, New Jersey. I believe this is the former home of the New Jersey Devils. G-Rod, you can correct me up on that one if you're hearing this. Zach, I know that you're a Jersey boy who doesn't live in Jersey anymore. Also, please correct me on that. It is 3 weeks until WrestleMania 2000 and about 1 or 2 weeks before it is on the Wrestle Addict Radio podcasting feed. We kick off with a long Triple H promo. Yay! Bloodline from SmackDown a couple weeks ago. Take notes. Slut, asshole, sign in the crowd that says, "Hey Rock, let's make pebbles." And kids, that is how Ava Rain got conceived. Steph doing like a hello kind of bit, and Shane immediately interrupts his little sister. He says that SmackDown had the historic and systematic destruction of The Rock. Shane then decides to recap and play-by-play this beatdown from SmackDown last week like he was commentating Sunday Night Heat in 1998. Triple H says all that Rock had to do was go away, you know, go for the European title or lose the love handles and go for the light heavyweight title. Stephanie says that at WrestleMania, The Rock can face the biggest tag team ever, the Twin Towers. Out come little people in suits, which I swear to God was a rib on the Big Boss Man. Big Boss Man's right there. One Man Gang, or Akeem the African Dream, if you will, is probably sitting at home waiting to be a participant in the WrestleMania X7 Gimmick Battle Royal. We then get a bunch of short jokes that come up short, making short work. I'm 5'5". I can make these jokes. Out comes The Rock, who says that the joke is over. The Rock doesn't care about what matches the Coalition book. Yeah, this is when the Authority was called the Coalition. He cares about being embarrassed like he was from SmackDown and beatdowns in recent history. You drove Mick Foley out of the WWE, and I'm going to offer you the same courtesy. At 27, The Rock's career hasn't even began to peak. So tonight, I propose I go one-on-one with The Big Show once again. And if I win, I go to WrestleMania. And if I lose, I'm gone. I leave the WWE. I'm out of here. And then the Coalition have a little huddle. Triple H is basically like, you're stupider than I thought. You're on to our main event. All the stats are decked against The Rock. His career is on the line versus a WrestleMania main event where The Rock gets to finish his story against Triple H. Oh, and also The Big Show. Backstage, Head Cheese are chatting, and Al Snow says that we're so popular, we should get a TV show. Al Snow and Steve Blackman, Mystery Time Traveler. Holy shit. I would watch the crap out of that show. Wrestling bios, Steve Muffuggin Blackman, Time Traveler. I'm all for it. But Steve No-Nonsense Blackman says no to this. And then a guy dressed like Abe Lincoln pokes his head out of the locker room, and Al Snow's like, no, no, not yet. Stay put. Our opening contest is the Hardy Boys versus Head Cheese, Al Snow, and Steve Muffuggin Blackman. Steve has defeated each of the Hardy Boys in matches in recent weeks, so here is the culmination of this feud. Head Cheese looking to finish their story. I swear to God, after WrestleMania 40, I am done with the finish the story bit, but we press on. We see some great tag team maneuvers in this match, and this is, of course, the announcers talking about anything else portion of the show, where The Rock's going to be gone at 27, and the first thing that went through my dark and twisted mind is The Rock is going to join the 27 Club. We get a Tree of Woe, we get the Poetry in Motion, we get Jeff with a Hurricane Rana on Al, Matt with a stun gun on Steve, the Twist of Fate is denied. We get a Brett's Rope Larry, the most dangerous rope, a mid-air powerbomb from Steve, and then a super pump kick. Matt goes for a top rope nothing, but then in amongst schmoz here, we get a small package, and the Hardy Boys win this match. Backstage, Kurt Angle is boring a security guard about the European title in his upcoming triple threat match with Taz and Chris Jericho. Tonight's Boot of the Week is brought to you by Lugs for your feet. And it was the super powerbomb through the table that Mae Young ate on Raw last week. Backstage, she is wheeled into the locker room in front of the TV by Mark Henry. Stay here. He doesn't want to. Like, this crap has got to stop. And then Moolah steps out for a powder. Or a little bit of nose powder, if you will. And we get the Dudley Boys versus Mark Henry in a handicap match up next. And this bit here, folks, this is the moment. This is the genesis of McGillicuddy. I mean, McKilla Dudley. So Mae Young helped get the Dudleys over. And that is, of course, according to Bubba Ray Dudley himself. He said that there are two people who I love the most in this business, and they are Classy Freddie Blassie and Mae Young. So we get a double lariat, and Mark Henry is valiantly trying to take down the Dudleys here, but Bubba pounces Mark Henry, a young Monty Brown, is taking notes. And then Bubba Ray just starts to walk up the ramp and go backstage while D-Von continues this match. We see footage from backstage where Bubba Ray kidnaps Mae Young and says that this is the last ride you'll ever take. Back in the ring, we get the 3D, and the Dudley Boys win. They grab the titles, they leave, they push Mae up the ramp. All while Bubba Ray Dudley has got that look on his face while looking at the ramp and the set below the ramp. We all know what happens next. D-Von is about to wheel the wheelchair off the stage as if she was Zack Ryder circa 2012. Bubba Ray stops him. They stand Mae Young up. D-Von picks her up so that Bubba Ray Dudley can super powerbomb 77-year-old Mae Young off of the Raw stage through a set of tables. Wow. Like, this is one of the craziest things I have ever seen in my 30-plus years of watching wrestling. And it has nothing to do with the move itself. I mean, we've seen the super powerbomb. We've even seen people get wheeled off the stage on Raw a couple of times by this point. But this is 77, an almost 80-year-old woman taking these ridiculous bumps. And I hear all these stories about how tough she is and, like, basically saying, don't you dare go easy on me. If you don't let up, I will beat the shit out of you. Saying this, this is Mae Young. I'm paraphrasing it, the conversations and the shooter interviews I've heard about the talks that Mae Young have had with the Dudley Boys. And you can see Mae Young, like, squeezing Bubba's hand, like, on camera, just basically saying that, hey, I'm okay. You did good, kid. And watching another bit with Bully Ray and Chris Van Vliet, and they're like, and Van Vliet says, so what was the atmosphere like backstage after you did that? Hugs and kisses. It was fine. I mean, Mae Young helped get the Dudley Boys over. And this was the thing that did that right here. Gotta give credit to the late Mae Young. She would go to great length to top the boys or to help get someone over. Whether it was putting sardines down her pants to give Eric Young Bischoff a Bronco Buster, take a guitar shot from Jeff Jarrett, or get put through tables by the Dudleys. And she loved being a part of it. Phenomenal. Our next contest is Kurt Angle versus Chris Jericho versus Taz. Kurt Angle is cutting a mid-ramp promo. Bob Backlund interrupted what would have been a guaranteed win. Bob Backlund is a true American hero and a two-time WWE champion, and New Jersey needs a hero. Bon Jovi does not count. JR says, well, what about Springsteen? And New Jersey, in the year 2000, you will get your hero. Because the New Jersey Devils won the Stanley Cup that year. But for now, you're holding out like a hero, like the residents of Beaumont, Utah. Swayze's coming. Just sit tight. Chris Jericho then does his ramp promo, calls Bob Backlund and Kurt Angle a gay couple, and says that, well, both of you have my three eyes. You're both an ignoramus, you're both an imbecile, and you're both an idiot. And then Taz just basically says, okay, no, I'm just going to kick some ass. China, conspicuous by her absence, is continuing to shoot her bits on her appearance on Third Rock from the Sun. Shout out if you remember that show. Taz wants a no DQ match, and you can hear a faint fuck them up, Taz, fuck them up chant in the crowd. New Jersey, not that far from Philly, not that far from some ECW. Taz clotheslines Chris Jericho. Kurt Angle goes to the top rope with one of his titles, hoping to do like a super belt shot. But Jericho chases him, and Taz then gets a superplex off of Brett's rope. Kurt Angle belly-to-bellies Y2J. Taz gives Kurt Angle one of his own. You get the lion salt, but Taz T-bones Y2J. The Taz mission on Kurt Angle. And then Bob Backlund gets involved. We get the Walls of Jericho. Backlund Pearl Harbors Jericho. China, then, who must have been back from the Third Rock, low blows Bob. And the Schmoz Angle belt shots Y2J and retains the European Championship. Backstage, we have DX having a pep talk about their upcoming match with Too Cool and Rikishi. Kevin Kelly is asking for a female perspective on The Rock Big Show match and The Rock's career. Why? This is like the Rick Mercer talking to Americans bit. Why are you just here for no reason? Although talking to Americans was really funny because a lot of these Yanks that he talked to were stupid. Was the joke? I think they did it on purpose. Our next contest is DX versus Too Cool and Rikishi. And I thought for a second we were getting Run DMC DX, the only good song from that WWF Aggression CD, Fight Me. But it was kind of a prototypical version, continuing with the Chris Warren DX band with a bit of a different beat. We see a big red hard R sign in the crowd. Yikes. Does not fly at all. I do not condone the use of that. We get Dog doing dance punching to both of Too Cool, who then returned the favor to him with a little bit of shuck and jive. A stink face to the Road Dog was denied. He shows a dance punch of himself to Dog and X-Pac. And Jerry says that they named a move after Rikishi's windbreaker, Twister. I don't get it. I don't get it at all. By the way, the Twister sequel that's coming out this year looks so bad, but so good. I'm going to watch it. Triple H then tries to choke out the big man. And Jerry says that DX has two words for Rikishi, JD Craig. That's not funny. Scotty goes for the WORM on the DOGG. And JR says, I tried doing that in my backyard, damn near hurt myself. Yeah, me about to turn 40. The thought of even attempting that just makes every vertebrae in my back start to twitch. We get the Grandmaster Sexay going for the hip hop drop. We get an X Factor, Triple H with a neck breaker on Scotty. Rikishi with the belly to belly on Triple H and the super kick. Triple H does not fall in the corner, so we don't even get the heeds of a stink face. Boo. Finally, Schmoz. Rikishi goes for the bonsai, and when he's on the rope, X-Pac rings the big man's bell, and D-Generation X win this match. Backstage, we see the Boss Man and Kane walking for their match. Kane runs into the Rock and just says, good luck. Our next contest is Kane versus the Big Boss Man behaving badly. He goes for the nightstick, boozle, chokeslam, it's over. JR calls it a tombstone, but I guess now I was wishing for a tombstone here, folks. I do not like the Big Boss Man. Well, let's see. Up to here, the Big Boss Man has killed a man's dog and ground him up and served him supper of the dog, pepper steak. That was actually kind of funny. He crashed a man's father's funeral and drug away the casket and revealed to the world that the Big Show is a big bastard. They didn't know his daddy. And even more. The Godfather is interviewed and asking about The Rock or The Big Show. And I'm thinking like, oh, hold up. You two were in the Nation of Domination together. Why would you not pick The Rock? Yeah, I still remember. It was 2 years, not even, previous to this, where those two men were stablemates. And you'd think he would not pick The Rock. Of course, the babyface, he's gonna pick The Rock, of course. And ladies, what do you think? And yeah, why are they... There's no purpose to this at all. We then see a recap of the Mae Young Super Powerbomb, and Michael Cole is interviewing the Fabulous Moolah. Like, how do you feel about this? And she turns heel on Moolah here. He's like, I don't feel a damn thing. The bitch had it coming. Nobody knew who she was before I brought her here. Bullshit. Moolah, she disgraced me. She stole my spotlight. And I'm just thinking, oh, Moolah versus Mae Young at WrestleMania. Just one more fight. No. They will get involved at WrestleMania, but it is far worse than we can possibly even imagine. Next, for the Light Heavyweight Championship, we have Jesse Rios, accompanied by Lita, defending against Dean Malenko. Tonight, Monday Night Raw is brought to you by SmackDown for the PS1, Castrol Motor Oil, and Chef Boyardee. Why does Dean get a title shot and I can't spend one night hiding in the bushes outside Chef Boyardee's house? Of course, S.A. Rios, the former Papi Chulo, and Aguila, who challenged for the Light Heavyweight Championship against Taka Michinoku at WrestleMania 14. There's a little pop trivia for you there. Dean with a dropkick, and he hits a gory special into a Billy Goat's curse into a Texas cloverleaf. It looked a little sloppy, but he got there. SA is crotched on the top rope, but the moonsault is then denied. We get a sunset flip counter. Eddie is on the apron for the distraction, and Dean is sent colliding into his friend. And then on the outside of the ring, oh, poor thing. This bump looked rough, but Lita goes for the Lita Corona on Eddie, but Eddie catches her and powerbombs her on the floor. I guess his shoulder is no longer injured. Malenko then reverses a pin and is the new light heavyweight champion, the first radical to win gold. Another trivia note for all you longtime wrestling fans. Backstage, Terry is in the APA's office, basically doing the, are you sure you want to do this? Midian, who has been a lackey or a klutz for the APA as of late, comes in with warm beer. The ministry lives. We just need Viscera. Then we see Jason Williams of the New Jersey Nets and Ray Lucas of the Jets shown in the crowd. Our next contest is Edge and Christian versus the APA with Midian. Terry is out here looking like American Badass Undertaker for reasons. Midian is working off some debt that he owes the APA. This is either a live episode of Wrestler's Court or it's a rib. No, the rib has to be when he was naked, Midian. Ugh. No. King says that, the FBI! I'm a female body inspector! Okay, I'll give you that King. That was okay. We got a good back-and-forth tag match here that we've seen countless times. Edge with a missile dropkick and a leg sweep. Farouk with that, mwah! Chef's kiss, spine buster. Take two, and it's in on Christian. Edge spears Midian in amongst the schmoz and eats the clothesline from hell. The confusion leads to the APA winning and Terry celebrating. And the APA just throw Midian to the wolves here, who send him packing. Oh boy, here we go. Next up here is at the airport, with referee Tim White and the Mean Street Posse, Albert and Crash Holly. The 24/7 rule is in effect. Pete Gas is the new champion for about 5 seconds before Crash belts him with a scale and runs down the baggage claim with the Hardcore Championship, the Houdini of Hardcore pulling off yet another heist. Amazing. It's not nearly as good as the Funtime USA that's on SmackDown after this, but man, I am loving this. Cole, Shane, and Sho backstage, and Shane saying that this was The Rock's idea to put his career on the line as a 27-year-old, and it won't be my fault when he wakes up tomorrow unemployed. They interview the Headbangers about this match. Who do you want to win? The Headbangers don't care. They'll pick the Big Show. And then The Rock can carry our cones. They've been wearing, the Headbangers, these fluffy, big, fake cone boobs. I don't know why. It wasn't a look in the heavy metal scene, because this is who the Headbangers are supposed to be, like metalheads. Like, they had Marilyn Manson CDs and other metal bands t-shirts before they started getting their own merch. And you went from Flying Nuns to that. I mean, that's quite a life trajectory. I'm not judging. Val Venus and Test versus Chris Benoit and Perry Saturn. Val Venus is back from a sprained neck, and this is Toronto versus everyone. Actually, there are three Canadians in this match. It is Oshawa's Test and Oakville's Val Venus and Edmonton's Chris Benoit versus Boston's Perry Saturn. So we get Val in the Spinebuster, and then there's a punchline that I heard on Archer like 12 years ago. Benoit balls. And King talks about the Benoit ball. Kids or adults too, do not Google Benoit balls. Trust me. Up comes Eddie. Benoit chops Val. Val is fighting right back valiantly here, even hitting a blue thunder bomb. A young Sami Zayn, who is probably be in high school. He's like my age. He's here taking notes. Val Venus slingshots Benoit, balls. Test gets a doctor bomb on Chris Benoit. We get a schmoz. Eddie hits Test from the apron. Benoit hits the German suplex, and we are doing the long build until WrestleMania X7 with Test and Eddie Guerrero. Finally, the main event. You get The Rock versus The Big Show. The Rock's career is on the line. If he wins, he's going to WrestleMania to finish his story. If he loses, he is out of the WWE. He is unemployed. Shane McMahon accompanies The Big Show here, and it is revealed to be the special guest referee. So we are stacking the decks against him as if he's Cody Rhodes, WrestleMania 40 with The Rock and The Bloodline, and if Cody loses, he doesn't get another shot. Oh, we're doing the AEW storyline here. I get it. So goes for a chair. The Rock takes it, but then Shane takes it away from The Rock. The Rock rings the Big Show's bell. Shane McMahon does not disqualify. We get a goozle, a low blow, and of course, the ref bump. Shane goes down. We get the spine buster, the people's elbow. Earl Hebner bolts to the ring for the three count, but Shane McMahon stops him. Shane goes for the chair. A limo pulls up. And yes, Vince McMahon is back on our screens. I've said it before, there'll be no Vince impressions on Fretzelmania anymore. When Vince McMahon is on the screen, I'm just going to say this is what Vince McMahon does. This is what Vince McMahon said. We're all aware of the allegations thrown against him in the Janelle Grant lawsuit. And right now they are allegations. They're very gross and terrible allegations. But until everything is out of the court, that's just... it's going to be a little weird covering him. I'm telling you right here that I'm doing it matter-of-factly. I'm not going to pretend he doesn't exist. And I'm not going to pretend that he is a different cartoon supervillain like the Cultaholic Classic SmackDown podcast is right now, which quite frankly is, I think it's hilarious. Like one week he's Dr. Doom from Who Framed Roger Rabbit. Next week he's Dr. Robotnik from Sonic the Hedgehog. I'm not going to steal that thunder. Also because I myself sent them some recommendations. One of them being Steven Richards from No Mercy. That's a joke for people who've played the living crap out of No Mercy. So out comes McMahon. He drills Triple H on his way to the ring, chairs Shane McMahon right in the face, puts on the referee shirt, counts The Rock's victory, and The Rock is going to WrestleMania to face Triple H and The Big Show in a triple threat match. Or is he? Spoiler alert for next week, there's going to be an addition to that match, which I think will benefit all of mankind. And with that being said, folks, thank you very much for listening if you've made it this far. Please follow me on the social medias. That's Twitter and Instagram. That's Threads and Blue Sky when I remember to use them. At Fretzelmania, FRETZLE Mania. This podcast is, of course, available on Wrestle Addict Radio. Say it with me, the cure for the common wrestling podcast. Also featuring my good brother, Nate, the effing great. Race for Impact, going through the main event Mafia storyline. I might have to join you on one of those soon, Nate. The Kings of the Rings podcast. We got King Ricky Rose, and when they are available, because it's been a while, Willie T and Agent K Murphy, K Fabe, whatever you'd like to call them. And also, you got to kick off your weekend in proper YLP fashion with Zach and the Young Lions Perspective, your news of the week and all that jazz. Folks, please join our Discord. There are going to be links in the description below. Also, just go to our Twitter at @addict_wrestle and go to our link tree. Everything's there, including our merch. We also have a Patreon that hasn't been updated in about a year, but there is still a lot of great back content there you can access. And I believe patrons would get a discount on said merch. T-shirts, hoodies, coffee mugs, beer steins, travel mugs, sports bras. Ladies, if you actually buy a Fretzelmania sports bra, I want to know. You don't have to take a picture of it with you in it if you don't want to. I'm not asking for that. I'm not a pervert. We got shorts, and we got all sorts of jazz from all of us on the network. So until next time, folks, next week's episode of Raw, I'm giving you a sneak preview because I've started to watch it. We get the number one contenders for the tag titles at WrestleMania named. We have a huge return, and we have the setup to WrestleMania 2000. I'm aiming to have that episode out the last Friday of the month because WrestleMania week, I'm having a special guest and we are previewing everything that's going on from WrestleMania and beyond. Until next time, folks, TTFN, ta-ta for now, and keep your stick on the ice.
This has been a Wrestle Addict Radio branded podcast.